So Proverbs 16. Verse 1 says, "The preparations of the heart and man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." So, verse 2 says, all the ways of men are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. So, there's many things, there's many works that people can do. Things that, you know, even some people think that, you know, the works that they do will get them into heaven, or they believe that, you know, you're doing works and that's what sanctifies you or saves you. But really, works is, you know, the Bible says that faith without works is dead. So we know that we need works, but we can't. It's not that it comes by works. So even, you know, we know that works, like such as like the way we dress, the way we act, the way we don't say certain things. We act, we know to be reverent in the spirit of God. Those things are good, but those things alone are not what's going to get us into heaven. Because even the Bible says the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. So it's not just the letter, it's not just the law of what's being said, but it's also the spirit that is behind it. Which is why in that second verse says the Lord weigh, like even though the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. So it's not the law, it's not the letter, but it's the spirit that you have, you know, behind that. And we don't want to misinterpret that as, oh, well, if God knows my heart, so I can just do whatever I want, I can live how I want, I can be how I want, I can just sin and do what I want, but God knows my heart. No, because if your heart truly is surrendered, those works will manifest themselves outwardly. It won't just be God knows my heart and I'm going to sin and still do all those things, but it's going to be that people will see an outward change. It's not that God knows your heart and God goes in your heart and no one knows about it and no one can tell. But Brother Brandon even said that he could talk to someone for 5 to 10 minutes and tell if they were a Christian or not, because those things are going to be manifest themselves outwardly and not just inwardly. So it's not that we're to be critical with people who maybe aren't displaying all the attributes or doing all those things, but we just know that if there's a work inside, it'll manifest itself outside that so others can see it. You know, and even if any of you work or go to school, public school or anything like that, you're going to know that when you go to certain places, people are going to see that you're different. People are going to see that, you know, there's things that are different about you and the way that you live. And those things are a manifestation of a holy life, of loving God and of following the word. It's not that we follow the word to try and, you know, to be good people, but it's that the word is in us, and then we read the word, and then we respond to it with obedience. I said I wasn't going to talk about obedience, but here I am. But we respond to the word with obedience to the word. So it's not just God knows my heart and I can do what I want, but it's, you know, God knows my heart, and because he knows my heart and because I know him in my heart, then your people will be able to see it on the outside. You know, even when Brother Mike Oltig was here, he's talking about how when he had his first experience, you know, he didn't even notice anything changed, but people at his work, people around him could tell that something had changed about him. So, you know, even when you have an experience, things are going to change outwardly where people can see it on you. So, but we as humans, we can't see the heart the way God sees people's hearts. So we're not to judge, because it says the Lord weigheth the spirits, not us. It's the Lord that weigheth the spirits. And verse 3 says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." Verse 4, "The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. Every one that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished." So there's been a little theme of pride going around the church, but that's something that Brother Bob and Brother Wade have kind of talked about a little bit, is that pride, that everyone that's proud in the heart is an abomination to the Lord. So to have too much pride to not be able to talk to people, to not be able to, you know, maybe listen to someone who maybe is something's happening in their life and they're trying to come to you, and maybe it's not the most entertaining story, but just to be able to sit there with them and listen to them, or even just to not feel like you're above doing anything or any type of work or something for somebody, you know, because God might want to use you in a certain way. And if you're too proud, if you're too haughty, as the Spirit says, with the too prideful spirit, then maybe you not be able to yield yourself to what God wants you to do. Good morning. And for those things, you know, you just want to humble yourself so that you don't feel like you're above doing anything, any type of work that God might call you to. So always remember to not be prideful, not be proud, to be humble, because we know that we can't exalt ourselves, we can't lift ourselves up, only God can do that. In verse 6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies at peace with him. So even your enemies, even people who don't like you, who maybe despise you, but they will be at peace with you. If you're truly a Christian, you know, there's going to be an air about you, you know, to where people can't really put a finger on what you're doing wrong. You know, even with Daniel, and when he was praying, and he made his stance to pray and to be a Christian, you know, even though they didn't like what he was doing, they couldn't really put a finger on Daniel to see, you know, where he's wrong or where he's doing this. But they wanted to see him, even his enemies who wanted him dead, they put him in the lion's den. They wanted to see something bad happen to him. But they, you know, they didn't have a just cause. And same for Jesus, you know, they put him to death over, you know, Barabbas, who was, you know, a known criminal. But they put Jesus to death, even though they didn't have anything on them. So even your enemies, even when persecution comes and things like that happen, you know, you want them to also be at peace with you. You don't want, because, you know, the Bible says, you know, it's not just love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but it's also love your enemies. So even your enemies, you should love them and try to be at peace with them so that people can't put a finger. And it's not just about, it's not about the outward, it's about the inward manifesting outward. And that's what I'm really trying to, you know, get across, is that, you know, it's not that we're trying to be something or portray something to people, but it's that if you really sincerely, you know, submit yourself to the word, it's inevitable that things are going to happen. It's inevitable. Like if there's like kindling for a fire, those tiny branches and it's just paper, and then there's a lighter, you know, and you put it under there, it's just inevitable that it's going to catch on fire. So when you apply yourself to the word, when you listen to the word, you read the word, and you study it, you know, that's what's going to light you on fire, and that's, it's just inevitably going to happen if you read the word and truly seek the truth. And then even your enemies will be at peace with you. In verse 8, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. So a man's heart deviseth his way. So to devise something is to like kind of plan something out. And there's a way that, you know, maybe you think something's supposed to happen or is going to happen. Or, you know, we all have a plan for our lives. Maybe we want to go to school or graduate or go to college or whatever we're planning to do. Or one day get married or one day have this car or live in this place. But and it's okay to have plans. It's okay to try and, you know, plan certain things out. But it's always good to remember the second part of that verse is the Lord directeth his steps. So you might, you know, devise your way. You might have a plan. You might have how you think things are supposed to go. But if you yield to the Lord, he's going to direct you in the way that you're supposed to go. You know, because we don't exactly know where we're supposed to go. But we know where we want to go. We have maybe a vague idea of what's going to happen. But if we yield ourselves to the Lord, who would direct us in the way that we're supposed to go, and not just the way that, you know, that maybe we have on our 5-year plan or whatever the case may be. In verse 10, a divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment. As weight and balance are the Lord's, all the weights of the bag are his work. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right. The wrath of a king is a messenger of death, but a wise man will pacify it. And the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. How much better is it to go to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? So once again, the wisdom and understanding is really what the Bible wants us to seek. It's not the riches of the world. It's not, you know, sometimes we think these gifts and certain gifts like speaking in tongues and all those things, and that's amazing. But the supernatural, the power in the gospel is wisdom and understanding, and knowing how to apply this attain understanding by reading the word and listening to the prophet and these things. But then the wisdom of knowing how to apply that in your life and where to use that and where that's supposed to go. So verse 17 says, "The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." So once again, it's talking about pride. It's talking about being of a humble spirit, being with the lowly. And I actually want to turn to Luke 21. Luke 21, verse 10. Luke 21, verse 10, Jesus is talking, and he says, "Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilence and fearful sights, and the great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake." So he's talking about the persecution of the saints and in the last days of how you know, it's not always just easy to, you know, to be a Christian, and there's going to be persecution, there's going to be hard things come, there's going to be, you know, he's saying things will happen and you'll be persecuted, and he says, "For my name's sake." In verse 13, "And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and a wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist." So this is the same thing they're talking about in Proverbs, where it's even your enemies will be at peace with you. In verse 15, he's saying, you know, your adversaries will give you a mouth and wisdom. Once again, what was talking about in Proverbs, will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. So the same, that's why the Old Testament and New Testament go together perfectly, because the same things we're talking about in Proverbs with the wisdom and knowledge and attaining those things and having even your enemies be at peace with you, to live a life that's worthy of the gospel, as Brother Branham says it, that's truly living out the scriptures, have your enemies to be at peace with you. And Jesus is preaching those same things. And he's preaching that, you know, to live that life, even throughout the persecution, even throughout all that's happening, all that's going to happen, you know, even in the last days, which is really what he's talking about here, is the signs of, in the last days, is that throughout all the persecution, throughout all the things that are going to happen, throughout all the struggles in your life, is to keep that wisdom, keep that knowledge, and to keep your holiness and keep your righteousness. And our righteousness is not in ourselves, but it's in the word and us claiming the blood. And verse 16, "And you shall be betrayed by both parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death." So Jesus says, I'm not sure if it's in Luke, but there's another place in the Bible where Jesus says that, you know, if you're not able to you know, abandon your family or your kids or your parents or whatever it is for the gospel, then you're not worthy of the calling, you know, because we have to be able to put everything aside. And you have to have your own experience to know for sure that nothing can take that away. And I love how Brother Mike, when he was here, he was talking about how the devil will try to kind of get in your mind, and you'll have doubts and things, and like, oh, well, do I have it? And Brother Mike talks about, well, you've had it the whole time, but it's just coming to that place where you're established, and you know, and you can really stand on it. And God won't give you a lot, but he'll give you a word to stand on, which is what Brother Mike was trying to say, or what he was saying. So just those things, and just standing on the word and knowing, you know, when you have an experience, when you have a change in your life, to hold on to that experience, no matter when doubts come, things like that, but to really have that experience and to be confident in it, so that even, like it says, when parents betray you, when brethren, kinsfolk, you know, if everyone just stopped coming to church, you know, would you still be a Christian? If the people who inspired you to get closer to God leave the message or they lose their faith, what would happen to you? And you have to have your own experience to know that no matter who leaves the faith, no matter who leaves, you know, the church or whatever happens, that you'll be right here, that you'll still be in the scriptures, you'll still be reading your Bible, you'll still be, you know, practicing all these things and living the life of holiness. It's not because your experience isn't based on other people or a champion, as Brother Mike was saying, how they wanted David, they wanted Saul, they wanted, you know, they always Samson, they always wanted a champion. The people always wanted a champion. But truly, we have to have our own experience with God, and not to look to man or look to the people around us or to our parents or to our friends or whatever's going on. We have to have our own experience so that no matter what, you know, we will stay here. We'll stay with the word. And Brother Branham says that a word, you know, words, when we speak, a word is a thought expressed. So if I'm thinking something and then I say it, I'm just expressing what I'm thinking. So to think that the Bible is God's word, to think that, you know, this whole book is God expressing his thoughts. This is the mind of God. And that's why, you know, when people talk about getting into the mind of God, when you really talk about thinking, and it seems so out there, it seems so grand, it seems so far away sometimes when we think about just getting into the mind of God, like to really be one with God, and that if you had a thought, you know, God would have that same thought. And how do we get there? And it's by reading the word, because the word is the thought expressed, and God's word, it's just God's thoughts expressed. And the same as us, we are God's thoughts expressed. So when God thinks something, you know, he establishes it physically and manifests it. So just to understand that the word is God's thoughts expressed, and that's why it's the absolute above anything else, above, you know, above the prophet, above any man, what any teaching could come, whatever, like Martin Luther or Wesley or any other messenger, above all those three people, the word is the absolute, because it is God's thoughts expressed. You know, and even you can, Brother Mike was talking about how you can know so much about the message and not know a lot about the Bible, which seems kind of off, but you know, that can happen where you get too enveloped in, you know, what the teacher is teaching, and you forget about the fact that this is God's thoughts expressed, you know, and this is the absolute. And to remember that, because it's so crucial. And that's why we were able to actually identify the teachers and the messengers and the prophets by the Bible, because these are God's thoughts expressed. So the messengers will be identified by the word. You know, so even if a messenger comes and he says certain things, and if they're off the Bible, then we know that, you know, something's wrong there, something's off, or there's, maybe it wasn't their time. And then even Brother Brandon preaches certain things where, like, it's not for the people who are here, but it's for the people who are to come. And just to know that, you know, everything can be checked back by the Bible. Even Brother Branham's always goes back to the Bible. You know, and that's in some ways an evidence of his ministry, of his message, of his prophethood, is that he always went back to the Bible. And that's how we identify him and all the other messengers. So verse 16, "Should be betrayed by both parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. So in our patience we possess our souls. And when all these trials are around us, when all these tribulations are around us, when all these persecutions afflict us, when we just have a bad day, or when we're by ourselves and we just start to feel bad, or whatever's going on, you know, just be patient. Just, you know, it says that those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. So just trust that, you know, the sun will rise tomorrow, the world will still be here, God will still be there for you if you just wait on Him and have patience and wait for Him to reveal certain things to you, even the revelations. Because some people will get to something that kind of confuses them in the Word, and they won't know how to deal with it. And they don't have the patience to wait, and they end up, you know, just getting confused and getting frustrated. But if you come to something that you don't understand, that might seem confusing to you, just have faith and be patient and trust and understand and believe that God will reveal it to you. So it's not just in yourself, but it's to have patience and trust in God's Word. And just to have patience, you know, with each other. You know, because think about, you know, like even the prideful, but how God wants to use you. And of course we can't be too prideful, but we also have to be patient as well, because we could be humble, but if we just don't have the patience to maybe hear someone out, or maybe have the patience to, you know, pray for someone, you know, week after week after week after week, and still not see any results, you know, if there's someone out there, there's a situation you're praying for, and you're praying week after week after week, and you just don't see any results, and you're not seeing, and maybe what you would like to see, is continue to be patient and trust in the Lord's will, and trust that He's giving you everything that you need for this moment. So it's in our patience, it's in our abilities to wait, to have godly patience, and to trust God that He will manifest these things in our lives. You know, and to your specific need, and not just generally, but to your specific need. So let's go back to Proverbs 16. I believe it was verse 20, right? Verse 20 says, "He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. For he that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, a whisperer separateth chief friends. A violent man enticeth his neighbor, and leadeth him into the way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to devise froward things, moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass." So all those things are just things of evil, and people just, you know, gossiping and certain things, and things going behind people's back, and it talks about whisperers and people just saying things, and a lot of our power is in our words. So when we say things, we always want to watch what we say. And, you know, things have consequences. When we speak certain things and we don't have reverence to what God is doing, especially when we don't have reverence, you know, sometimes we just think it's not that important. But having reverence to what God is doing, having reverence around your brothers and sisters, having reverence around, you know, how you act and people around the world, because what are they going to see? You know, if you're acting a certain way, and how is that going to lead them to Christ? So that's why we need the inside to manifest outwardly. And so it's not just about, you know, us and maybe judging people, but it's also about how the world is going to see it. You know, if you're saying this about the Bible, and you're saying you believe this and you believe that, But then when you live a life in front of them, you know, they don't see that. So that's another big part of why it needs to manifest outwardly, so that others can see and can be led, you know, led to Christ through you. In verse 31, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. So hoary head, hoary is usually like a, it's like an old, like ancient, it's like something that's old. So even the gray hair in old age can be a crown of glory in a way, if it be found in the way of righteousness. So someone who's lived a long life, someone who's learned things, someone who's, you know, and that's why we need to seek wisdom from the older people, from the older brothers and sisters, and even people who aren't brothers and sisters, they might still have a lot of wisdom for us. In verse 32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. So he, once again, is talking about patience. And your patience, like in Luke it says, in your patience possess your souls. And in verse 32, talking about being slow to anger. Being slow to anger is better than being mighty. And being able to rule your spirit is better than being able to take a city in battle. So the power there is in having control over yourself and having discipline in yourself and having, you know, being slow to anger. And sometimes we feel like things happen and we just can't control ourselves, and we get angry, we get emotional. But to be able to rule over your spirit and to not lean to your emotions in times of stress and things like that. And it's the exact same message here in Proverbs 16 and in Luke 21. It's the message of tribulations and trials. And when these things happen, you know, be calm and trust God. Be still and know that I am God. And just to know that God is taking care of things, and having patience and believing in that, and to coming to perfection and developing to the point where we can control our spirit, we can control ourselves, and we have God in our lives who can lead us and guide us in all things. So God bless you, you're dismissed.